This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Go to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x on NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today, use your promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app. Visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN. Get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. All right, DGens, welcome back to the Golf Gambling Podcast. This is pre-recorded on, what day is it? Days blend together when you got a little kid, like a real little kid. Friday. It is Friday morning, really early in the morning. It is really cold in the garage here, but thankfully I got the Golf Gambling Podcast hoodie here. I got a coffee here, the Golf Gambling Podcast mug. All of these you can get in our merch store. And I believe the Merch Madness contest is still going on, or promotion right now is going on where you get 50% off everything. But I am going on vacation starting on Saturday morning, and I will be back on Wednesday, which means I will not be here for the usual betting show. I will not be here to preview, but as promised, I'm not contractually obligated to do it, but as promised, I am going to give you the preview for this place, and it's important. And I'm actually glad I'm doing it because I really like this golf course that they're going to for the Houston Open. I think it's one of the better ones they play. It's the renovation they did by Tom Doak was really good. And there's some exciting changes that they're making for this tournament that I think are going to have pretty big implications for what happens in a couple weeks at Augusta. So we will get to that in a little bit. But first, you know, listen, why don't we just start off with the field in this event? And, you know, the big fish in this is Scotty is back. Scotty is back to take all of our money again. He is in the field this week, and obviously with his new putter, the Spider Tour X TaylorMade putter, pairing that with his good ball striking has made him pretty much invincible, even despite the fact he was injured at the Players. And look, that was heartbreaking for me and several other gamblers to see Scotty Scheffler beat your bets at the Players. I'm just going to warn you, as I go through this golf course and what it demands and how it's set up, he's probably going to take your money again this week too. So maybe this is time for you to consider single bolting Scotty at this point. But if you don't want to do that, there's a couple other really good names in the field too. You got Tony Finau, who won this event back in 2020. Wyndham Clark, Will Zalatoris, Sahith Theegalen, Jason Day, all of them are in this field this week. I think the full field will be released tonight. Maybe there's a couple more big names that will be added to the commit list, but you know, that'd be pretty cool if we got another Scotty versus Wyndham Clark battle. There's absolutely no reason I think Wyndham Clark couldn't do very well this week based on how it's set up and what it's going to ask of guys. And I'm hoping it's going to be a fun tournament. You know, have a couple of these guys battling again. I know the TV ratings are not reflecting it, but the last couple of tournaments seeing good players battling for the win, that's what the PGA Tour needed ahead of the Masters coming up. So before I start showing you the golf course, why don't we take our first break? And then we will go on a little tour of Memorial Park in Houston. All right. So obviously, like I mentioned, we are running our Merch Madness contest. You get 50% off everything in the merch store using promo code MADNESS. Again, you can get this nice little hoodie keeping me warm, the coffee mug. It's great. And yeah, go use the promo code, get the stuff, support the show. We really appreciate it. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that gives it the feel of a betting social network. And Cut offers a lower vig with fully customizable odds, so you can create your own bets with your friends. You know, Boston Capper and I have been doing it on the show. Korean little bets on Cut that you can go bet over on there. So, and Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. It's got social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And you also get rewards too. You get cash back every single time you bet against your friends and other users when you use Cut. So download Cut today in the App Store or over at Cut.com. That's K-U-T-T and use.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. And my favorite thing to do on Underdog is play the pick'em game. Basically, it puts all different types of stats that you can build a little card with. You know, fairways hit, green regulation, birdies. They do a really good job with golf building those out. I did a couple before yesterday's first round of the Valspar. A couple of bums really let me down, but it was fun sweating it out during the first round on Underdog. So sign up today. Use promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com and find them in the App Store. Don't forget to register with my promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 plus and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply to and serve with your play. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. Let's get back to it. Let's get this up. Here it is. This is Memorial Park. And before I get into the actual golf course, I think it's probably important to first talk about just the Houston Open in general and what has happened to it on the PGA Tour. This is a very old event. This is an event that I think dates back to the 50s, and it's been played in a lot of different golf courses around the Houston Open. And it just seemed like it never found a true home. I know most recently, before they came to Memorial Park, it was at the Golf Club of Houston. It was bounced around the schedule. First, it was in the spring before the Masters. Then I think they tried to have it after the Masters. Then it got punted to the fall. And eventually, it ended up losing its sponsorship. I think Shell was its sponsor. It lost. It just decided it didn't want to sponsor a tournament anymore. One year, it actually just called the Houston Open. It was sponsorless, and it got punted to the fall. The field was terrible. I think Lanto Griffin won that tournament. It's a pretty gross field. And it seemed like the Houston Open was probably not going to be in the PGA Tour League framework. But a couple of key things happened around that time. First, in 2018, the Houston Astros Foundation stepped up to save the golf course and the tournament. They basically agreed to be the primary charity benefactor for this. So obviously the Astros, wildly popular in Houston for obvious reasons, wildly successful. They helped basically revive this tournament. But they needed to find a golf course. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to actually bring the golf tournament back to Houston. Well, there's a municipal called Memorial Park Golf Course. It accommodates 60,000 rounds per year, but it was in desperate need of a facelift, which I'll show you once I go back in time and show you how this golf course has changed over the years. So they realized that they need to invest in their municipal golf course to make it both championship worthy and also friendly to amateurs who play. And they brought in Tom Doak, who, everyone's probably heard of him. He has created some of the best, golf buddy trip golf courses that you can go to. He created Pacific Dunes and Old MacDonald, Abandoned Dunes, Stream Song, Cape Kidnappers, Terra Edie. Those are beautiful golf courses down in New Zealand. He restored Pasa Tiempo. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a couple of golf courses in Michigan that he also restored as well and renovated and built. The problem with dope courses, though, is they're not really all that long. They can't support all the infrastructure needed to host PGA Tour tournaments, so you typically don't go to them. But this one, though, he built it with a design to make it a championship-style golf course. It can be stretched up to 7,400 yards in length. Now, it's not going to play that way, and I'll I'll show you that, or I'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, he did a really good job with this golf course. So first, why don't we actually, let me rearrange the screens here so I can actually see everybody. Okay. All right. So why don't we first go over what this looks like? Let me zoom a little bit. So this is most recently what is today. Let's go back to, you know, about 7 years. This was what it was. I mean, look, you see all of this really overgrown here. I mean, this is probably, this is in March. The Bermuda start just starting to come out of dormancy. You know, it just, it looks pretty run down. And while it's a wildly popular golf course for amateurs, yeah, if it was going to host a Houston Open, actually really revive the tournament, it needs some, you know, something really big. And then, you know, flash back to here. You know, you can see the lines as well, just where the holes are now. You can see a couple tee boxes are where the woods are. You see some greens over here are where there's trees. They completely changed the routing, created new holes where in greens where there wasn't. So what did they specifically do to change it? Well, one of the things they did was they wanted to incorporate, let's zoom in over here. So this is a canyon that runs through the center or the center of the property here. It's got a little stream as well. And they did a couple of things with this. First of all, they use this as a source of drainage. So any of the water that runs, you know, if it rains, it can run off the fairways and off the greens here into this ravine. And then the water just carries it out naturally, you know, instead of having catch basins around every green and, you know, spending infrastructure to create pipes around the golf course. You know, they actually use this ravine here to get the water out. But they also wanted to make it more of a hazard, challenge. And so they ended up moving a couple greens closer to this canyon to bring it back. So, you know, let's go back in time here. So, you know, so this is where, so this is what the second green used to look like here. They ended up taking the tee box on this green over here at probably, I think a par three that was going this way. And they ended up building a green very close to the ravine over here. This is a, all short grass over here that falls off into the ravine if you miss the green a little bit to the short and right here. The seventh green as well, another par three. Again, you know, this was the green where it was. They end up shifting this closer to the ravine over here to bring it more in play. And number four as well. So this was a little longer par four. This is where the green was. They have shifted it a little closer to this canyon over here to bring it more in play. So that are some of the ways they have shifted some greens and moved things around in order to, you know, bring it a little closer to some natural hazards. And that's another thing too. Let's talk about the hazards on this golf course. I mean, let's zoom out a little bit. You'll probably notice there's not a lot of hazards on this golf course. You know, you got this big water hazard right here, but it's mostly the fairway bunker or greenside bunker variety that they got rid of. And one thing I forgot to mention, Tom Doak consulted with Brooks Koepka. Now he's listed as a co, I think, designer of this golf course. He probably just walked the golf course and talked to Tom a couple times, and Tom probably nodded his head, like, okay, yeah, sure, we can do that, and did his own thing. But one of the things that Brooks said to Tom was he thought that bunkers were, quote unquote, superfluous. And what does that mean? Well, he meant that for professional golfers, they're just not that all much of a challenge for them. I mean, it's pretty easy for them to get out of it if they hit in, you know, unless they're against a lip. Pretty easy to still get on the green from there. They're able to control their spin. You know, if they're in their green side, they can get up and down. But for amateurs, though, I mean, for most of us, if you're in a fairway bunker, it's essentially a penalty stroke. So what they wanted to do instead was they got rid, you know, there's still a couple fairway bunkers that they have here, but you know, one, and they're not usually in play for some of the tee boxes that are up. So, you know, a lot of the amateurs probably fall short of it, but they're in play for the pros. But there's only like one, you know, hole or so. They got rid of, you know, maybe, you know, maybe only one or two per green as well. I mean, you know, 13 over here, there are no bunkers. So they got rid of all the bunkers. What they did instead, though, was, so let's like zoom in. So in the rough over here, it's not flat and uniform. There are subtle undulations and mounds with it deep within the grass here that is pretty much imperceptible to an amateur golfer. So we wouldn't really know. But to a pro golfer, they would know. They would know if it's an slightly uneven lie. They want to be a little bit more of a nuisance for a professional golfer who's trying to be a little more precise with their shots versus an amateur that is just hoping to get out and get close to the green. So they also removed a lot of water hazards on the golf course. So let's go, again, go back in time here. So on the first hole, there was a pond on one here. They completely got rid of that. They also, on the sixth hole, where is number six? It is right here. There was a pond right here, greenside. They completely removed it, and it's now just rough here. And then on 15, which I'll show you the green in a little bit. So the water, there still is a water hazard. This is a creek right here that it's a really cool green. I'm actually looking forward to show it to you right after I'm done talking about some of the things about the golf course. This used to be just an all carryover water. They completely just filled it all with dirt. There's a little creek here. So, you know, sorry, little fishies, but you had to find a new home, which actually they ended up expanding this water hazard right here on 16 and 17. So going back in time here, just a little, it looked like an arrowhead, this pond here. Not really all that play, all in play on this hole or this hole, but now it's in play all along off the tee here for the professionals. And this is basically an island green now. So if you want to go for it in two on the par five, you know, I run some risks now for these professionals. You can hit in the water here. And based on some of the agronomy changes that they made to this place, I would expect everybody's probably going to go for it unless there's a significant win. And then on 17 here. So actually, there's one change they made for this tournament, a recent one. The green for 17 used to be right on the water here. They ended up moving it back 30 yards. So now the green is here. You know, water is still in play if you miss it over on the right. But they just moved the green back. On this hole, though, mostly these guys are playing positional golf. It's like probably like 225, 230 to here. See a lot of guys taking irons and hitting over the water into the green here. But yeah, those are just some of the ways they made some changes to the overall golf course itself. And I think it's great. I think the round is really good. What really makes this golf course really good is that a lot of the greens have very little rough around it. It's mostly tight lies and collection areas, especially up in front of the green. And again, this was on purpose from Tom Doak. He wanted to create more tight lies around the green for amateurs to be able to putt back to it. But a professional who wants to get the ball maybe closer to the hole would have to chip off it, and that's pretty challenging. Anytime you have tight lies around the green, very challenging. And one specific example, let me pull this up here. This is the 15th hole. Let me zoom in, actually. This is that short par three. So I think a couple times I played as short as 115, as long as about like 140 or so. And you can see, this is you can't see it from here, but like this is a very deep green and significantly undulated green. A lot of the greens at Memorial Park are very undulated. But you can see here, this all falls off down to the creek. Now, in past Houston Opens, kind of like what they did with the Players, there's a little patch of rough around the creek here to stop balls from completely rolling in. But if it's going pretty fast, it might roll in. And based on some of the agronomy changes they made, I don't think the rough might be as high as it could be to stop some of these balls. But you can see here, basically, this is what is, you know, really challenging about this golf course is, sure, you know, it's only a 115-yard shot, but, you know, kind of small targets here with where the, you know, some of the pins here. because it's really undulate. If you miss a little bit, it's going to roll off the green. And a lot of holes are like that, basically. The greenside surrounds are very challenging, especially for professionals trying to chip and get up and down, because the greens can be really undulated and you're chipping off the tight lies. So that's Memorial Park. Again, like, I'm very excited for you guys to see it next week. Glad you could go a little bit of a tour with it. Why don't we take our second ad break, and then we'll go into some of the nitty gritty about this tournament, and specifically a lot of the changes that you're going to have to account for with it being played in March versus October, when it was played back then, when it was in its former place in the schedule. All right, let's talk about game time. So if you're buying tickets, you know, today, maybe you want to go to the March Madness, you're in town in Brooklyn or something, and you know, you're looking for you want to go to the game. Well, game time is a great place to go for last minute tickets. You know, it can be really difficult to scramble around, find the best prices, and game time is the app for you. It's a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, including music, comedy, and theater. And they got killer deals with last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You can stop stressing over tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. You know, they got flash deals. Basically, you know, they'll know where your location is, and you know, they'll push something to you and say, like, hey, like, you know, we got a discount on this event here. Maybe you want to go to it. And it's easy to find tickets. You can find anything in your area, whatever you want on game time, with the lowest price guarantee. So forget planning months in advance. Game time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. You can get exclusive flash deals for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. So download the Game Time app and create an account. Use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot, which picks have value. So stop betting in the dark. Join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app and visit agemontbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Okay. Let's put this back on the screen. And let's look at the GCSAA tournament fact sheet. I am very grateful that it is out this early. Thank you. Maybe they knew I was going to record a podcast for you guys at this point. But here are the general facts and what you need to know for the Houston Open this year. So, again, like I mentioned, this is a golf course meant open bridge here. This is something to keep in mind. So it says that it plays 7,400 yards. Here's the thing. I don't know if this is because it was played in the fall and maybe there was less daylight available, so they didn't want to make it quite as long of a golf course, or maybe they just didn't want to play 7,400 yards. It played closer to 7,000 yards. The problem, though, is it's not like I can pinpoint, because like specifically to a particular hole that was different. A lot of these holes, when you look at the actual scorecard yards from the tips and where they played it, there's a pretty significant variance across a lot of holes. It seems like they use a lot of multiple tee boxes on several holes every day. So I can't really point to a particular hole. The only one I can really point to that was significantly changed is 18 is typically a par 5, plays like 540 yards, I think, from the tips. It played as a long par 4. So there's 60 yards, but there's still over 340 yards basically to account for. So I don't know specifically right now how long it's going to play. Given my next points, it may play the full 7,400 yards, because I think that this thing is, they're trying to make this as close of a warm-up to Augusta National as possible. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, obviously, or, you know, right at the start, these are big greens, 7,000 square feet. But as I mentioned, these are significantly undulated greens too. A lot of undulation and curvature to these greens. So just like Augusta National. Obviously, I talked about the tight green, you know, tight lies around the green are getting up and down. Obviously, that's really important at Augusta National. But before, though, this was played on Bermuda, so it was a different test, getting up and down Bermuda. We talk about this on the podcast. In March, though, you'll notice this is a big change. It is a completely different grass that they're chipping off of now. Now we are dealing with the overseeded grass. So we have Poa trivialis overseed on the greens here. We talked about it a little bit last week. As temperatures get a little warmer, the Bermuda starts popping up a little bit. You know, the Poa overseed is still there, but you start seeing a little bit of green, so they start behaving a little more like Bermuda green. But, you know, these are overseed greens. More importantly, though, is that everything around the green and the fairways and the rough is now the ryegrass overseed. And you can kind of see it here. Let me pull this up. You can see, you know, this was taken in February. And this is how you can tell a golf course is overseeded. All of this brown right here, that's dormant Bermuda. But you see how vibrant green the actual holes are? That's the overseed. So, because that can actually grow and have color in a little bit colder temperature. So, let's get back to the GCSAA. Another thing to keep in mind, too, the rough. It is only 1.25 inches in length. That's, I think, exactly what the rough length is at Augusta National. And it's also a ryegrass overseed. Again, Augusta National is actually a Bermuda golf course with bentgrass greens. But when they play it for the Masters, all of that is ryegrass overseed. And considering they both have the same rough length, this is a true warm-up to Augusta National. I think anybody who's playing here that in Houston that is qualified for the Masters, I think this is a very good test, good warm-up for them. It's a tough golf course. It has a lot of the things you're, you know, looking for and basically things you have to do well at this golf course and the types of shots you got to hit. That is going to translate in 2 weeks. I think anybody who signed up for the Houston Open and is playing this is making a great choice. And the ones that are going to play Valero the following week, like Rory, I think he's making a mistake playing that because I don't think that's actually a very good warm-up to Augusta other than just shaking off the rust. One thing the GCSAA also notes is, they note the overseed, but the overseed now will provide a much tighter playing surface than the Bermuda grass did. This will highlight the penal green size surrounds at this place. And we'll get to the stats in a little bit about how difficult it is. This is one of the more difficult golf courses around the green. So the fact that this overseed is now going to only heighten the difficulty, and it's pretty exciting stuff. You know, they talk about, like I mentioned, number 17 green was moved back 30 yards, and they added a couple bunkers there. They also talk about the climate. So we've been dealing with a lot of rain in the Southeast and California and soft golf courses. Apparently, per the GCSA, it's been warm and dry throughout most of the season. So maybe we'll get a firm golf course. That would be nice. Instead of these pillow soft fairways where the ball just sticks, or the greens just stick, it would be nice to actually see a little bit of movement in the stuff. And then the average fairway widths are between 30 and 40 yards wide. But, you know, you can kind of see, let's pull this back up. Not a lot of trees, fairway bunkers to contend with. It's a pretty wide open golf course. So you can, and especially with the rough only about 1.25 inches, you can pretty much just bomb it pretty much anywhere at this place. Okay. So you might forget. Let me take another sip from my golf game podcast mug here real quick. Okay. So you might have actually forgot who's actually won this place. I mean, we haven't seen this in a year and a half. It's been moving around the schedule. So why don't we give you actually a little recap of who has won here and what the leaderboards look like. So back in 2022, Tony Finau won won with by 4 strokes. This is actually misleading. I think he was up by like 8 heading into the back 9 or maybe 7. It was just over at that point. I remember actually betting Finau. I think he was up 5 or 6 heading into, or how much? Actually, I can just see. He was up 4 heading into Saturday, and I had a bet on him. He was a 4 on like just, well, I mean, Wyndham Clark is no longer a scrub, but at the time, Wyndham Clark was a scrub. Justin Rose was kind of scuffling too, but like a Ben Taylor, Tyson Alexander, like he was 7 up on basically the next best player in the field. And this field was not very good. And a lot of people don't want to give Tony credit for winning this because it was such a bad field, but I mean, he was up 6 or 7 on the back 9, and he faded a little bit. He kind of went into cruise control, but this was, and you can see from the scoring, really tough scoring conditions. Over the weekend, it got cold and windy, and it got really tough to play. And the fact that he did exactly what a good golfer, a very good golfer, should do in a weak field, beat him by multiple strokes. And that's all you can really do. At the end of the day, like we try and knock some of these guys for performances against weak fields, but you're playing against the golf course. So the fact that Finau beat a weak field by multiple strokes on a really difficult golf course, I think is a very underrated win and a very good win for him. I look very favorable on this win. Maybe it's because I hit the outright, pat me on the back. But I think people like knocking Tony Finau for not winning in real fields. I would push back on this one. This was a good win considering what this golf course is, how high a seam I put it, and that he beat the field multiple strokes. Let's go back to when it was a little bit stronger. Let's go to 2022. Oh, I don't want to see this yet. And again, when you're looking at the course history, you only want to go back 3 years for the Houston Open. That is when it's been played Memorial Park. Before that, it was the Golf Club of Houston. Don't want to look at that at all. Boston Capper's boy, Jason Kokrak. I think he actually bet Kokrak for this event. He won it at 10 under. But what was interesting, though, is Scottie Scheffler was leading heading to the final round. You got Matthew Wolff at 6 under. You know, Johnny Vegas up at Russell Henley. But a lot of, you know, pretty good drivers at the golf course. Our drivers were up here. Scotty kind of gagged it away on Sunday. I mean, not gagged. He shot 69, but he just couldn't really get it going. Kokrak shot a final round 65 to take it. Matthew Wolff was, you know, pretty disappointing that day. I think I had a bet on him that day. Burns. So, Burns, this was the start of when Burns, I think, we're starting to have a little trouble around the green with some tight lies. So on 18, I don't have a picture of it, but there's a big collection area right in front, and it's a rate, and it's, you can technically putt up to it, but you got to hit it up a big slope to get back to the green. And so he decided to putt it, pull putter, and he went up and down a couple of times, just like he did, I think, a month later in Albany when he couldn't get, he was in the collection area and he tried to get up and down there too. He just, ball kept rolling back to his feet. So that happened to him here as well. But Sam Burns has a good result here too. 2021, this was the week before the Masters, if you remember. And this was different weather than what we saw when Finau won. It was hot. It was really firm. And it's kind of sad. It's a really good leaderboard here. And B, a lot of live guys. Carlos Ortiz won. Dustin Johnson finished second. Hideki, the final round 63, making a charge. Did really good. Taylor Gooch, Koepka. So 4 of the top 5 here were live guys. You got Tyrrell Hatton going to live eventually. But this is a really good leaderboard here. This is a really entertaining tournament. I mean, Carlos Ortiz was 151 in it. I think I had a position on him that day instead of the outright. You know, that's on brand. But, you know, good leader. But you can see with the scoring, though. You know, 2021 plus 0.7 under par. 2022 plus 0.9 over par. 2023 plus 0.7 over par again. Again, so this is one of the more difficult golf courses from each tour, despite the fact that, you know, I mean, they built a golf course that is not all that long and doesn't have a lot of hazards. But because it's designed incredibly well, it's a challenge to these guys. So where is it a challenge to these guys? Well, let's change this to rankings. The par fives. Par fives are actually one of the more difficult ones on the PGA Tour. You know, since 2015, they rank as the 12th hardest out of like 88 golf courses. I would probably chalk that up into, so I think on 8, it plays pretty long, but also plays into the wind. 16 has the water that you got to contend with, so there's a lot of penalty strokes you can rack up on those. But the greens are also really tricky. And if you try going for it in 2, you know, you got tight lies around the green, it might not stay there, you're chipping back up to a really undulated green. It's not one where you can probably like get to the green in 2 based on how, you know, it's really firm and fast. You know, it's hard to control your ball from long distance. So it's not easy par fives. It's also not easy par fours too. You can see here, let me actually change the values. So the average distance of all par fours and fives is 477. So that is the 9th longest on PGA Tour since 2015. Now, here's the thing though. So like I actually didn't highlight a couple. There's a couple drivable par fours. Like this, you know, 13 is 430 or 330 here. This one is 388, not really drivable unless you got a tailwind, but you know, shorter ones. So the fact that the average distance of all the par fours and fives are, you know, pretty long. You know, it's a combination of shorter holes where you hit driver and longer par fours and fives where I hit driver, which, considering Brooks Koepka consulted on the place, wanted to make it a driver-heavy golf course where you got to drive it really well, makes a lot of sense why it's a little bit longer on some of these holes. Let's go to the strokes gained difficulties here. So off the tee, not incredibly all that difficult tee shots. You know, I mean, for obvious reasons, what I talked when I showed you the golf course. Not a lot of hazards, you know, 30 to 40 yards wide. You know, it's you can kind of bomb it everywhere. I think the fact now that this is only 1 1/4 inch ryegrass rough, not really all that challenging for these guys. Not all you can hit it in there and still get a very good, you know, contact in the ball. So it's probably going to be very easy tee shots for the most part. I'll go back to this a little bit because I want to talk about round of green and approach play a little bit. But, you know, let's go to some of the driving stats. This is interesting. I couldn't quite figure out why this is the case. So the average driving distance has varied wildly over the first 3 Houston Open. So it was 296.5 in 2021. I mean, that's one of the, it's pretty high up there, but then it was only 288 in 2023, 284 in 2022. I was trying to think about why that is. I think what happened was in 2021, I think it played a little wider. Well, and actually, it's not the case because it was 54% trim accuracy, but it played a lot firmer and it was hot. And I think guys got a little more rollout on their drives. So that's why I think the average driving distance was a little higher. But in the next couple of years, you know, it's colder. Maybe it wasn't as firm, although in 2023 it was firm. I don't know, actually. I don't actually know why there's this huge delta between the two. I guess there also are a couple of holes where you do have to lay up a little bit off the tee. So, you know, I mean, number 17, you're not pulling driver here. Maybe on number 5, you're not. Maybe you're laying back here. That though, I don't really see a reason why not pulling driver a ton here. So I don't know. The data golf has kind of stumped me on this one. So there are others who are going to be breaking this down this week. Maybe they have a better explanation than I do. But anyways, so the average driver accuracy rates is still pretty low. You know, 57% in 2023, 54% in 2021, so no one can hold a fairway. So, you know, I mean, it's because it was really firm at those times, it was hard to hold fairways. Guys are hitting driver a whole lot. I mean, at least I would think. It's hard, you know, they're not hitting fairways as much. I would probably expect if it's firm again this year, probably similar drive accuracy rates. But again, because the rough is only at 1 1/4 inches, it's not really going to impact much. And you're going to actually see it even without, you know, even with longer Bermuda at these 3 Houston Opens, there's very little penalty for hitting in the rough. Only about you know, there was in 2021, but in 2022, 2023, very little. If I switch to the rankings, yeah, so like this was, you know, middle of the road, like 22nd out of 45 golf courses for the difference between hitting the rough and, you know, hitting from the fairway, 20th out of 38 in 2022. Non-rough penalty is virtually non-existent because there just really isn't a lot. There's not a lot of fairway bunkers, and so this isn't really a factor. Low penalty rates too, lack of water hazards. So overall, the missed fairway penalty is pretty low relative to the other golf courses. So, but the approach play, though, is a little more difficult. So it's 32nd out of about 85 golf courses, so definitely a little harder than average. And, you know, thinking about it, just you're hitting into really undulated greens with smaller targets than they play. So the degree of difficulty of actually getting the ball close to the hole, especially when they're playing firm, is difficult. So that is why I would say that the difficulty of the iron play here is a little harder than most golf courses where it's basically just flat ball. You know, it's relatively flat greens that are soft. The ball is just going to stay, you know, where you hit it. And, you know, I don't particularly think that's exciting golf. Some people don't care. Whatever. All right. Around the green, though, very difficult around the green compared to other golf courses. 13th hardest out of like 85 or so. So let's actually pull that up here. The fairway. This is where it's really tough. 7th hardest of all golf courses played since 2015. That is the tight lies around the green, back, and you're chipping or sometimes putting back to very undulated greens. And, you know, for amateurs, if you're just looking to get it out with a bogey or so and have like a 15 footer for par, you know, that's a good result. But for a pro, you're trying to hit it close, trying to get up and down here. And the degree of difficulty of doing that from the fairway in Memorial Park, based on where some of the pins are and where you miss it, you know, it's very difficult to do that. You know, it says 20th most difficult out of the rough, but the thing is there's not really a lot of rough around the green here. So that's not really a factor. Get up and out from bunkers, that seems like where you probably want to miss it. But there's only one bunker around each hole or so. But yeah, most of it, the biggest storyline around the green this week is going to be how guys do chipping off the fairway or putting back to it if you choose to be like Sam Burns and do that. And then putting, you know, a little above average difficulty, a little above average in difficulty, 39th at about 88 or so. Where it's most difficult is putting between 5 and 15 feet. I would say because of the undulated nature of these greens, probably a lot of break to a lot of these, you know, middle length putts. So a lot of these 10 to 12 footers are probably going to have some good, you know, you're going to have to start, you know, a cup or two outside or so. It's just they're difficult putts to hole at that point. And, you know, if these greens are running a little firm and fast, it makes it kind of tricky. So those are the course stats. So just biggest takeaways. Not all that penal off the tee just because of the lack of hazards. You know, I think the fact that it's going to be very short rough this year makes the penalty for hitting the rough a lot less. But fairly difficult approach shots just because you're hitting the undulating greens and smaller targets. Really difficult conditions around the green because of the fairways. You know, the tight lies around them and putting, you know, it's, you know, they're difficult to hit putts because of the undulating nature of the greens. Okay, let's go to the course fit tool. And you'll probably see why Scotty Scheffler is going to take all our money this week because it basically fits what Scotty does. So, you know, around the green approach play, it's, you know, it's as predict, basically your skill in that is as predictive to success as other venues, but there's a higher correlation to success of guys who drive it a little longer and guys who hit more fairways. Hi, Scotty Scheffler. This is why you're really good here and probably why you're going to win again. And actually, if I toggle this, you can see the important, a little more the importance here. So again, and you got to do everything, you know, relatively pretty well. I mean, you know, got to drive it well, hit your irons good. You know, it's, you know, you got to get up and down very well, obviously, from tight lies. The reason why I keep saying it, going back to Scotty, but I feel like I'm 45 minutes in. I probably could have just made this 5 minutes to say, like, just bet Scotty 5-1. But, you know, maybe he'll regress with the putter. All right, let's go back. Let's do two more last things. Let's look at how you actually separate yourself in the tournament based on strokes gained and the approach to that distribution chart. So I think the biggest thing to look at is, if we go through the years, a lot higher correlation to how well you do in tournament, getting up and down from around the green versus the average PGA Tour venue. And that was the case in 2023. It was the case in 2022. And it was really the case in 2021. It was as important to hit your... This is actually kind of crazy. It was as important how you hit your irons in the tournament versus as it was getting up and down, which is nuts because that is never the case in almost any other PGA Tour event. It is way more important usually in tournament how you hit your irons. Here, it was all about how you got up and down. Like look at some of this. Like, look at the top of the leaderboard. Carlos Ortiz gained like 1.4 strokes around the green. But for him, Jason Day gained over a stroke. Like, these are big numbers to gain. Like, typically, you're not gaining a whole lot of strokes around the green in general. These are big numbers, though. So you can see how important it was getting up and down. But even, like, you know, going back to, like, 2023 or so, you know, Finau was positive, Tyson Alexander, Aaron Rye gained a billion strokes around the green that day. Scottie Scheffler gained a lot of strokes around the green that year. Yeah, it was very important to get up and down at Memorial Park at this place for things I have talked about ad nauseum already that probably are sick of hearing me about. But yeah, it just seems like you got to do everything well here. You know, you got to hit your irons really good. You got to putt really well. Basically, like, the cream is really going to rise to the top of this place. The guys are playing the best. You can't fake it around Memorial Park. It's a good test of golf. And you got to do a little bit of everything really well. So just target really solid players, I guess, for the most part. I know I'm not really breaking much news, but I think it's going to be a really good leaderboard. I don't think it's going to be what we're seeing right now at Valspar, which is a bunch of junk up there. I think it's going to be, hopefully, you know, Scottie versus Wyndham versus Finau versus maybe a couple of our big names are in the field battling out for the win. And let's talk about the proximity chart. Unfortunately, this is kind of all over the place. I don't know exactly why. I'm just sitting here on a Friday morning where I haven't done a full week's prep for this. But the one thing you'll notice through the years is a high amount of shots over 200 yards relative to the other PGA Tour venues. This is about, you know, like about a third of your shots are coming from over 200 in the 2022 Houston Open. In the 2021 Houston Open, again, fairly consistent amount of shots over 200. And in 2021, again, heavy concentration. But in this middle range, though, in 2021, a higher amount of shots between 125 and 150 and 175 to 200. Go to 2022, kind of shifted all of this 150 to 175 range. And then in 2023, it was all less than PGA Tour average. So this is going to be kind of difficult to try and figure out where these guys are actually hitting approach shots from, because it's kind of moving all over the map. That's for you guys to figure out, because I will be down in Florida for this. So good luck. But yeah, obviously use the tools and data off if you have a subscription. That's really about it. So, all right, I am done here. I have to go to work now, but thank you for joining me on the show. Well, no one's joining me. I'm pre-recording this, but if you're watching this, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We give you free content every single week. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on Apple or Spotify, or if you are somehow a dinosaur who uses Google Podcasts, they are discontinuing it, and you're going to have to actually move over to YouTube Music for your podcasts. So if you're doing that, make sure you resubscribe to us on YouTube Music for your podcasts. Go follow us on Twitter. Go follow Boston Capper at Boston underscore Capper. Go follow me. Go read my rantings and ravings in Discord. You want to hear my opinion on grass and how golf course is playing and me complaining about stuff. But otherwise, hope this helped, and good luck with all your bets for the Houston Open.